Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is from John chapter 19. He cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." This is the text. During this Lenten season, we have been focusing our attention on Jesus' words from the cross. This evening, we hear Christ speak what for me is the most profound of all of his words. I was really pleased that I got to do this part of the sermon series, and I didn't even have to lobby for it. It's just the way that it fell. We at Our Redeemer got to have them all in order. Every third year that happens with the series, we get it in order. So we have It Is Finished here at the really appropriate time, heading into the end of our Lenten journey. What is finished? There are a number of correct answers to that question. But we need to take a step back and look at the seamless connection between the Old and New Testament. How God has consistently dealt with his people, and how all of human history led up to that one moment on the cross. And all of human history since that day has looked back at that one epic event. It is finished. Those words mean as much today as they did for the people standing there at the foot of the cross. But what is finished? Christ's humiliation and suffering that began at his conception is finished. The mocking, the beating, the pain of nails and thorns is finished. With his death, Christ's battle against Satan is finished. Satan himself is finished. At least his fate, his judgment is sealed, even though he is loose for a little while until the end. But even beyond all of that, a fundamental change occurs. The old order is finished, and a new reality begins with Jesus on the cross. We don't read of it in John's gospel, but we heard it in the Passion reading, drawn from the four gospels, because the other gospel writers, they record extraordinary cosmic signs that the creation is becoming unglued. Darkness reigns over from noon until 3 o'clock. Not only is this symbolic of the power of darkness, which God allowed to have temporary authority over the world at Jesus' arrest. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane to Judas and the band of soldiers, "This is your hour, the hour of darkness." But there was this darkness over these proceedings with his arrest, with his trial, certainly at his crucifixion. And this was God allowing darkness to be. Jesus even says to Pilate, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." With Adam's fall into sin, God didn't, wipe out Adam and Eve immediately and start over, because he loves his children. So he allowed darkness and evil to reign over God's goodness and light temporarily. And now an unearthly darkness enters creation temporarily. Day and night are confused. Creation's bondage to sin and the curse of death, which Jesus has been absorbing into his flesh since his conception and bearing with him publicly since his baptism, is now completely laid upon him to do its destructive work. All the curses of sin, all sickness, all death, all pain, all judgment, it's now placed upon him. Yet the Creator who took on flesh and was born into his own creation, at this moment of death, is bringing new and eternal life. It is finished. Behold, he is making all things new. The darkness is a sign that already now the end of the old world, it's come in the death of Jesus Christ. And a new and eternal day, a dawn from on high, is about to break forth and shine forever on those who are dwelling in this valley of the shadow of death. And while there is this unusual darkness, there's another sign that occurs that shows that the old world is finished. It was a sign that no one who was at the cross could see. Very few witnessed it, but at the temple of the Lord, the curtain to the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, the inner sanctuary at the temple where only the high priest would go one time a year on Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement, to offer a sacrifice, the blood of the scapegoat for the sins of the people, that curtain was torn in two. Top to bottom. The shift in God's presence from the temple in Jerusalem to Christ's body, it began at the announcement of the angel Gabriel to Mary. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That is, he tabernacled among us. That's what the word means. The temple of his body, not the temple in Jerusalem, is the place where God made his dwelling on earth. That child, born in Bethlehem, was to fulfill all things and be the one final scapegoat. And his blood would be shed for the sins of the people. The presence of God in and with the man Jesus was publicly proclaimed at Jesus' baptism when the heavens opened and the Father declared him to be his Son. The Holy Spirit descended upon him, signifying to John the Baptist that this is the one. But it is at Christ's death, when the temple curtain is torn in two, that most clearly demonstrates that Jesus is the real temple, the place where God dwells on earth. Christ's sacrifice on the cross marks the end of an age. The old order was finished. The new covenant in his blood has been established. A new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. The first creation was spoiled by sin, which leads to death. And those enemies of sin and death, that's what Christ came to defeat. It is finished. Lent is a sorrowful season, and we remember the awful suffering and death of our Lord. But there is a reason that the church calls the day on which he died Good Friday. Because what happened on that day in the darkness was not only ultimately good, but allows us to face the darkest fears of our life, to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil. Because our enemies are finished. As St. Paul wrote, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The old is finished, and we wait with all of creation. We look forward to the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. We long for it, not just during this Lenten season, but but throughout all of our days. That is our goal, the resurrection of the body and life everlasting, because we know that our joy and our time with Christ will never be finished. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.